backing up at the move or the decision to look at properties in Pilot Mountain, which we did, I'm going to say February of 2005. This is just vague. I know when we moved, it was May. I knew it was about 3 months from the time that we saw the land that we bought and the time that we moved onto the land. So indeed, I took the profits from the job I sold, the first job I sold in North Carolina, which was King Fire Department. And I used that as a down payment on this property. It was like, we bought two plots. One was like 11 acres. The other was like 10 and a half. So it was almost 22 acres of land. And it had what I wanted, which was a creek and a river. So the river was called Tom's Creek, which supplied the water originally to Pilot Mountain. And then there was a small creek that met with it, that divided it like a 90-degree angle. One side of the property was the creek. The other side was Tom's Creek, which was like a river. It was amazing. I had, just when I saw the land, and then I went on ahead of my wife in May of 2005 and brought some of the stuff. We didn't use a moving truck. I used my truck and trailer and her car. We did two trips, and we brought all of our stuff to this, basically an old farmhouse. It was like a ranch house. It had two floors, but it was, the second floor was like a half floor. And I didn't know about the other part that we bought. We just said, yeah, we'll take that 11 acres and tie it into the house property. And when I went on ahead of Sharon and I went down to the far end of that property, which was connected to the more or less the river, I was just weeping and so blown away by the goodness of God that he gave us this property. And I took pictures, sent them back to Sharon. I still have those pictures on my website somewhere, old pictures. And eventually that would be a place where we could baptize people, that place where I originally went. We did baptize a handful of people, not a lot. And when I baptized the people that I eventually did, the Lord said thousands, right? So I get these words, right? So this is all the beginnings of this calling that I'm still very much involved in, that really hasn't become the thing that it's supposed to be. But the first trip to Pilot Mountain was from 05 to 11. In that first year, 05, we wanted to get to know our neighbors. We lived off the beaten path a little bit, kind of exclusive. People saw that as where the rich people lived. We were coming in from New Jersey. People, you know, thought we were, you know, kind of come in and be weird because we're from New Jersey and all that. Because it's, you know, Southern people tend to put the Yankee at arm's length. But God gave me a verse as I was walking the field, you know, just praying and praising God. It was Psalm 34, which was, dwell in the land, feed in his faithfulness, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way unto him, and he will bring it to pass. That's always going to be with us from that day to now. Oftentimes, that verse comes back. Jenna, our daughter who's artistic, she put it on the wall of our kitchen with chalk. We had a little section there where she put that verse right there to remind us. That's our theme, our family theme verse. So when we moved in, I didn't have to work every day, so I started building the gym and for the kids with treated wood, you know, customized, and it was a lot of fun, you know, just to be able to build a really cool swing set with climbing ropes and bars to swing on, because our girls were involved in gymnastics. I put swings on trees. I just wanted the kids to have fun outside, enjoy the beautiful scenery. We have gorgeous sunsets over a barn that was ours, and the kids would sit outside on the swing and look at the sunset. We had a trampoline. But it's during this time I started getting dreams. And on this day, 18 years ago, November 22nd, I was sitting in the kitchen in the morning, and I was just praying in the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, my hand started writing almost involuntarily. This is what I feel like the people who wrote scripture went through. Is I was just writing. I was praying in spirit and writing. My mind was not thinking and writing. It was just writing. And I wrote 5 pages, cursive, italics, whatever. It was just kind of scribbly. But I wrrote it. I understood it. And so 18 years ago today, I got this download, 5 pages of what I was supposed to do for God. Because I told him in 2001, I will do whatever it takes to bring this nation back to you. And coincidentally, the first thing that happened when we moved here is that we both felt, Chen and I, that we shouldn't try to not have children. And immediately we got pregnant with our sixth child, Stephen, who was then born in March of 2006. But these dreams and these downloads were all happening in 05. Went to conference on spiritual warfare in November 2021. And then on the 22nd, I got the download. So it was at the spiritual conference that something got put on me about spiritual warfare that translated to finally getting a breakthrough, because I always want to know, what am I supposed to do, Lord? What am I kept asking the Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? I didn't want to be a preacher. I didn't want to be a missionary per se, or just seminary trained person. I just wanted to be in the workforce and I wanted to be a witness. So this download, pretty much, it's very comprehensive. It's about me, but it's also about my children. And I've also often used this download to argue with God about the future of my children when things are looking bad for them. Like, my oldest daughter got pregnant out of marriage. She's still a single mom. My next oldest daughter is going through terrible times with mental struggles. Again, God told me those kids are his kids and they're in his hand. So I say, Lord, they're in your hand. Take care of them. So all of this was going down in 2005, but we were not connecting with if I was supposed to bring something to the people of Pile Mountain, I was not connected. They weren't coming over. I'd invite them over. Nobody come over. So we decided to put our house on Main Street. We sold another job. I took the profits from that job. And May of 06, we opened up a cafe with the help of somebody that was a coffee man, a Christian, and he helped us open up a beautiful setting, perfect site, dead center Pot Mountain, old building restored, very easy to fix up and make beautiful, and it was. And later on that year, I remember one morning, I got maybe May or June, I was reading the Psalms, and I was reading Psalm 24, and it said, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. And I stopped, and I looked outside the window, and I saw the street, and I said, that means the Lord owns the street. If the Lord owns the street, then we should celebrate on the street. We should be able to worship on it. It's the Lord's street. It's not the North Carolina street or the city street. It's God's street. He owns it all. So then I had a conversation with a few people, and over the course of the next few weeks, we decided to do an event called Taking Back the Streets for Jesus. And it was 5 bands. The main one was the one that was going to bring in the most people, Kiss for Jersey. One of their band members worked at our coffee shop, Barista. And so, you know, we helped arrange it. I didn't know anything about concerts or sound systems or anything, so people had to tell me stuff. And eventually people donated things. It was beautiful. Like, people heard about it. They donated a sound system. And we got a flatbed trailer. It was donated. And then, you know, we got the downtown closed off. The city police, the town manager closed the street off for that day. That was the plan. We had to get a permit. We had to go through a process. So we did all that. The day shows up. And it's rain in the forecast. Storms. Bad weather. It's very threatening to the event even happening. That morning, I get up and I take a shower and I start praying in the spirit. And all of a sudden, I start to see visions. And I see these horrible creatures laying on top of me, like snakes, but they're massive, prehistoric, with these dragon heads. Rah, rah. And I'm just screaming at them, Jesus coming to town today, because we're doing this event. And the kids hear it. I'm praying, out, out, in the name of Jesus Christ, out. So that whole thing happens. I leave that, and then I leave and go to the land. And I start walking to the river, and I get to the river, and Ezekiel 48, where Ezekiel's told to go in ankle deep, thigh deep, then eventually all the way deep. And it was this feeling like I was Ezekiel going through this experience of going deeper and deeper. Then I'm led down to an area where there's a little bit of a waterfall that creates, you know, a little where you could 3 foot deep, because most of it's like a foot deep, a lot of rocks. But in this section, there's an opening too with the sky as well. Like the trees open up. It's not, the trees aren't directly hanging over the river. So I go to this section and the Lord starts dealing with me. He says, lay in the water, lay in the water. So I lay in the water and my head is in the water right by where the water comes off the rocks. And it's like all turbulence in my ears. And the sky opens up, the sun starts shining brightly. I come out of the water and I hear turbulence. So that happens. So I come back, I'm filled, man. I am full of the Holy Spirit. And I make my way back to the house. It was a good long walk. Couple thousand feet, whatever. I get back to the house, make my plans for the concert, call people, and then I get these reports like, hey, are we going to still do this? It's supposed to be terrible rain. I'm like, yeah, let's keep going, because I had the faith, right? I had lots of faith, believing, you know, something's going to happen that day. We're getting rid of the bad guys, the monsters, the demons, whatever, the old prehistoric cursed stuff in Pile Mountain was being dealt with, and I wanted to push it away. So, lo and behold, all the bands show up at the coffee shop. We go to the upper room. It was a second floor. And everybody's worried about the weather. And I said, look, Psalm 121 says, look unto the hills, the mountain, from whence come my help. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I said, let's just pray and ask the Lord to do something. I start praying in the spirit. They pray. About 10, 15 minutes later, I step out onto the lower roof. It was like a window. I could step out. I looked up, and it looked like literally God with his finger cut a hole in the clouds. I tell the guys, come out. Look. And sure enough, the clouds, it opened sky right over our downtown area. So then we're excited. We start the event like 5:30-ish. And people pouring in, you know, a lot of young people, because this fourth band was going to be the feature band, Kiss for Jersey. They were starting to get nationally known. They travel a lot, but they were from Pot Mountain. So my wife's getting overwhelmed with customers, a lot of people there. She runs out of quarters. She says, I need more quarters. So after while the third band was playing, and then Kiss for Jersey was eventually going to get on the stage, I have to ride the bike because the downtown's closed off. Cars can't park. So I just ride the bike about a mile to the grocery store to get quarters. I get quarters. The people are nice to me, hand me 2 or 3 stacks of quarters, and I ride back. But while I'm in that process, I see a cloud hovering over Pilot Mountain. It's like just sitting there, and it's like the cloud, like Shekinah glory. And I'm like, God is here. Jesus is here. Everything's happening. I go back, give Sharon the quarters, and then I go immediately to my knees in front of the stage, which is a flatbed trailer, and this band for Kiss for Jersey is playing. I'm just praying, head down on my knees. When they finish up praying, their last song is about the second coming of Christ. And it's screamo music. It's to most of the older adults, they didn't understand it, but it was real. Song was dense with second coming implications. I get up, I hug the guys, and next thing you know, the microphone's in my hand, and I start preaching, compelling men to come to Christ, compelling men to repent, no matter what you've ever done. I go on for 15 minutes. It's all God. It's the Holy Spirit. But meanwhile, my wife tells me the sun changed color in the sky, because he had the setting sun would hit the front window of the cafe. He said, literally, the sun changed color. So that happened. Then when I'm done, you know, the last band plays. Meanwhile, it's not raining. Not raining at all. The last band plays, and I'm walking around, and people are looking at me like I'm some kind of... They put me on a pedestal because they knew it wasn't... I mean, something heavenly had come into my mouth and out to them. And weeks later, I heard reports of youth groups where kids were confessing sin and getting baptized. It was a great effect on the community, apparently. It was a tremoring effect, an earthquake effect, spiritually speaking, for people. They were making confession. You know, God did something that day in the atmosphere as what he was showing me. I didn't get the direct result. Like, I didn't lay hands on people and they were, you know, repenting, or I didn't baptize people, but other people did. So that happened. The main point of that story is that that was my initial calling and my understanding. My November 22nd in 05 was my, with what I'm supposed to do, written. And then July 22nd, 2006 was my public attested calling to preach. And then we were, people said, are you going to start a church? Well, a guy who was a preacher was going to start a church and I was going to let him use a cafe. Well, his dad all of a sudden dies of a heart attack. And I think it was like August 5th. We had this whole thing planned out a couple weeks, newspaper article, church starting in Living Lattes Cafe. This guy, Aaron, his dad dies. He says, look, I can't do it. I got to take care of my mom. So I said, okay, I guess it's me. So I go out there, a bunch of people, 40 people in our cafe, strangers to me. And I preach my first sermon. And it's the Holy Spirit. And it's heavy. And then every Sunday, I would get up in the morning. I would, while we had the cafe from 06 to 08, we got booted June of 08. It was not right. It was a Freemason effort to get us off the street because we were doing all these concerts and people were coming in from all over and they were scared. Old ladies didn't like it. Town fathers didn't like it. They ran me off. But from that point, August to, I think it was June of 08, I preached on Sundays. I get up, go to the coffee shop early in the morning, just pray for 2 hours in the spirit mostly, and he would give me the outline, and I would just preach it. It was amazing. Like, I felt the Lord's love and his hugs every time I preached in the cafe. And it was just me walking among the people. We had a band, or not a band, but worship help, you know. So we did a little singing. People didn't sing great, but we had just basically people sitting at booths listening to me preach. I was walking among them. You know, it wasn't doing like pews and pulpit, which was wonderful. I had a microphone. But also we would do other things. In that those 2 years, we had concerts outside next to our shop. We'd have to get a permit. You know, I would compel the young people to come to Christ, things like that. We had evangelist outreaches. Other people would compel people. That the whole experience in the cafe was saturated with Jesus Christ. The most intense sense of Christ in his presence in what I was doing, a sweet spot, the pocket, the flow was all there for me. I would host, and Sharon would be awesome doing her cooking and nice smile. I would be high. Sometimes I would pray for people. I remember one lady, her marriage was on the rocks. I was alone. She came in, get a coffee, and I prayed for her marriage, and she came back 3 weeks later and said her marriage was restored. You know, people got healed. I remember a young man came. His car got sick. He pulled off Pilot Mountain. He was coming from Myrtle Beach, coming back to New York State, and he came in the shop early. I was alone with him, and I spoke into his life, you know, spoke prophecy over his life, and he was healed of his migraine headache, whatever caused him to pull off the road and stay at our hotel. We had one hotel in Pilot Mountain. That story sticks with me to this day. The family gatherings, the movie nights, the desire to get husbands and wives to sit and talk and have a coffee, the idea of bringing people together. The town manager lived third floor above the shop. He would have meetings there. Church pastors would meet there and do their Tuesday morning. The Methodist pastor would do their Tuesday, you know, just fellowship and talking and praying. And I would sometimes pray with him. So this was just an incredible sweet spot of time, 06 to 08. So this was my calling to be something, right? An ambassador of reconciliation, a preacher, whatever terminology, heaven sent. It's all heaven-based. Everything about me is based on heaven. It is not based on a seminary, a piece of paper. God did things in my life to make it known that I was his man. So I feel very close to the throne. I feel very close to Jesus Christ because obviously that's 06 to 08. We're now looking at 2023. I've been a dad of 8 kids. Those kids have done things that, you know, I wanted to be involved in, specifically my oldest son, Seth. Whose name was changed a month before he was born from Samuel Seth. He has a unique calling on his life, but he's a baseball player. He's going to be a pro baseball player. He's going to be, I believe, when he was 7, 8 years old, he's going to play Major League Baseball. He's going to be a Major League Baseball player. So I get to watch his development and be a part of it because I'm an athlete. I helped him. And my other sons are also athletic, and I've been able to be involved in that. If I was a preacher and a missionary, I sent one. If I'd taken back to the streets, went to the third year, and that's when it died, it ran out of money. If I would have gone national, I wouldn't have been able to just be a dad. And I have been gifted with the ability to just be a dad. I praise the Lord for that. I bless the Lord for that. He let me just be a dad and not be an evangelist or pastor or preacher or whatever. I got to just be quiet. But it's been hard, financially hard, because I had to go back into the workforce. I became a salesman, selling solar, selling HVAC equipment. So now generators and battery backup, and it's been all startup type, you know, this company doesn't want to pay me, or, you know, weird stuff happens. The enemy gets me on the bad side of something and I have to go find another job. And it's literally like that, because I come in with joy. I come in with energy. I come in with, especially when I work for Christian Men, prophecy. They're not in that mindset. They're into, you know, religious spirit. I got one guy, one company I was with, Christian Man, deacon, local Baptist church, big time guy, you know, has a Bible on his desk. But yet I left that company because his oldest line worker, installer, who was doing things that weren't right, on it, not honest, and I called him out on it. He got so mad at me that when the boss wasn't there on a Friday, he and his two fellow workers attacked me in my own office and started throwing punches at me. And I left, and I never went back. That was one way to leave a company. You get attacked by the workforce. They can't talk. They throw punches. And all I did was block those punches. But I whacked against the whiteboard, blood in my hair. My wife came home and said, why did you call the police? Because I'm not going to call the police. But this is the kind of life I've lived. You know, just being a nobody, working as a salesman for these companies, not being a preacher. And then 2020 happens, and I go to Washington, D.C., and I see what they did there. I see the corruption. And then I started doing YouTube videos. Oh, after going back, after we lost our cafe, we did 4 months on another site. That failed. October 08, we shut the whole thing down. We almost lost our two youngest boys, which was Zachariah and Stephen. One almost got run by a truck, and one almost got lost in a parking lot because we were near a parking lot, and our son, 2 years old, got us lost in the parking lot, and the police came, and these were signs, shut it down, I did. I went off into the woods. I went into the mountains after that happened. This is important. October 2008. I said, honey, I'm just going to go up the mountains, Blue Ridge Mountains. So I take some bread, I take some wine, and I go up the mountains, and I go talk to the Lord. So I get involved in a very long hike. I follow this stream, and I just say, what's the source? I want to see the very tippy top of this beautiful stream coming down the mountain. I keep going up, 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 up. I get to the top. There's wild ponies. Nobody knows where I'm at. I'm alone. And I look at this kind of source area where it's coming out of the mountain, where it goes down to the bottom. And at that moment, I get this Holy Spirit sense. You are my source. I am your source. And then I ask the Lord, so if you are my source, then are you the source of all this trouble? Have you allowed all this trouble? Losing the coffee shop. Now I have no job, no income. I have a big mortgage. I'm going to lose the land. I'm going to lose my beautiful red truck that he gave me to build my business that originally brought me to Pine Mountain, my contracting business. I lose my truck. I lose my trailer. I lose my stuff that I built up when I built that business to become more professional, to look better when I rolled into a job. It was all fire stations. So now Lord's telling me, boom, I am your source. So then I started doing church at home, on the land. We did fire. We still did some concerts. We did a couple weddings. One wedding. And it was just amazing. Wherever we went to Top Hot Mountain, did a church service, the presence of the Lord. It thinned out. I had less people. It was just a handful, 20 people was our church. But we went places and did things. I married at a park. I did a marriage there. I did a marriage on our property where our house was. Beautiful, gorgeous, never forget it. Great young couple, still married, got 3 kids. And he was somebody I laid hands on to be a preacher. So this is what happened. And then in 2011, we had nothing. We were almost homeless. We couldn't pay our mortgage. We lost the land, had no work. You know, 2008 it happened, economy was down. The only person that gave me a job was in California. Eventually, you know, I come out there to rebuild his lost business. He was recovering his fire station business that I was really effort at. But all my powers that be, people that I actually trained in my industry, I was one of the gurus of the industry, turned on me when I was in California. They didn't give me the product to sell it. They didn't give me the rights to the product. And meanwhile, Sharon's having the birth of our 8th child, Zoe Hannah Grace. Our 7th child, Zachariah, is having this terrible teeth problem. We're in a hotel. We're sleeping in a hotel for 3 months. Sharon's dad and mom, her mom's dying of cancer in New Jersey. This is torment. We've had PTSD, man. We're in a hotel and we're having a baby for it. And we're sleeping, all of us, in a hotel, you know? It's crazy. This is when my daughter Becca said, "Dad, I need to go to high school somewhere." So we found a big high school right where the hotel was, and she entered in, and she had to study the whole first semester because we had done a semester in Pilot Mountain, but California does whole year semesters, and she had to study the whole book on her own to get an A so she could keep her grade average way up so she could get into a higher level college, which I now know is her thing. Stories that you can't imagine mark my life since God called me. 2001, I still do whatever. 2004, I get called. 2005, I get a download. 2006, I do Taking Back the Streets, public declaration of my calling as a public minister. 2008, lose everything. 2009, I start doing YouTube videos, preaching on the YouTube. I did that to 2010. 2011, early, we go to California. I still do a couple videos on YouTube. People wonder what's going on with me. I pretty much shut all that down in 2012 as I moved back to New Jersey. No more videos, maybe one. And I try to make it go of it in New Jersey by my wife's family. And nothing works. Okay, so 2014, my wife and I are like, I say, there's three places we can go. Pilot Mountain, Texas, we lived in the 90s. Or Pennsylvania, where I was raised. And where we lived right after we were married for a little while, a year and a half. Lancaster, Pennsylvania. She says, Pilot Mountain. So my oldest daughter has a car. I don't even have a car. I don't have a truck. I lost everything. Nothing to my name. No credit. Nothing. So I had to use my daughter's car. We drive. I got a job interview over a weekend. We drive to stay at the one I'd laid hands on, that I married on the property. We slept on his couch. And I do the interview. We're coming back. The guy gives me a second interview and decides to give me a job selling octagonal, beautiful houses that are designed for the side of hills or beachfront because they handle hurricanes, topsider homes. And he says, "I want to give you another chance." You know, like this is all like things he was thinking. You know, he wasn't a Christian, but he's just something inside of him said, "Yeah, I want this guy to give him a shot at this job." So we need a house. And I hear a report that the house we're currently in right now is available. It's been empty for 4 months, 5 months. And I go look at it. It's like, wow, this is great for our family. 5-bedroom. And our neighbor was I had trained her son. He eventually got a state championship in wrestling. So she liked us. And she also was managing the home that was empty that we wanted to rent. And she negotiated a rate from $1,200 down to $800 a month. Amazing. And this man gave us a chance to come in. But the problem was the place was empty. The pipes had frozen. I had to put all new copper. It was converted over to plastic water pipes that we couldn't move in right away. And then there was all these snowstorms in New Jersey, ice. We couldn't move until like the middle of February of 2014. But eventually we got here. And we get here. That job works out for 2 months, 3 months. And the guy says, "Look, I'm going to give you moving expenses, but this isn't for you." Like, it was very nice what he said, but he said, "This isn't your fit. This isn't your..." I was driving 45 minutes from Pilot Mountain to Clemens. "This isn't for you." So now I have no job. I can't pay my rent. I get sick. I'm losing weight. Food doesn't stay in my body. So this is to let you know the spiritual resistance of us coming back to Pilot Mountain to fulfill the mandate of why we were sent to Pilot Mountain, which is to bring revival, to bring renewal, to bring truth, to bring love of God, to bring the gospel, to do the Great Commission, right? Great Commission. I was sent. Apostles are sent. That's what Jesus does. He sends people. He sent me and our family to Pilot Mountain in 2005 to do something. It's not happened. We did things, energy, beautiful coffee shop, people still remember. We did Taking Back to the Streets, people kind of remember, but we haven't planted anything that is seen or visible from heaven that's unique and special. And that's why I'm doing this recording, and that's why I'm doing this appeal. I need money from the body of Christ, the anointed ones of Christ. I need people to give me money to get a space, to start prayer, healing. That's what I want to do. We'll have coffee set up, give away free coffee, but we need a space downtown on Main Street to restore me back to the position where God put me, which is in the center of town, where we did Take It Back to the Streets, where we had our coffee shop. I need heaven's money to do this. And what am I going to do? I'm going to pray. I want to gather men, start praying, two or three, and then keep going. I want to pray for people who are sick so that heaven can heal them, to have a testimony like Pentecost, right? That's what I want to do. I believe I have a heavenly mandate. It's not me. It's all God. There's no Jonathan involved in this. What's called Living Lattes. If we do a cafe, it'll be Restore Living Lattes. Use the name. My wife thinks I'm crazy. Use the name that we originally were given by God. And Becca, the daughter's going through all the mental stuff. She's the one that got that name, Living Lattes. That's heavenly. I still have livinglatteswebsite.com. I still have LLI Fellowship, which is the nonprofit side of it. Right? I have all this. It's been preserved. When I had no money, I would throw $40 at keeping my website. Every year, December renews. And we're coming up on December. You know, my websites impact our city. I'm trying to give people an idea of like what it means to impact your city by faith. It's been 18 years today that I got my download. 18 years of struggle with God. 18 years of setbacks. 18 years of hardship. 18 years of attack spiritual on my money, on my finances, on my reputation, on my children now. 18 years of preserving a marriage of a wife who doesn't understand because she's looking at me. She's not getting these downloads. I'm getting them. She has to trust that I'm hearing God. And she's cooking and cooking and pampering and no money, credit, debt, all that. She's hanging in there for 33 years. She has hung in there. It's unbelievable. This story is real. There's not one thing I've said in this account that's not verifiable and true. It's pieces, but I want you to pray. Pray to heaven that this be something that you see. I don't want you to give to me. I want you to give to God. I want you to give to the kingdom. I want you to give to Jesus Christ who died for you. I want you to give to the future of this church that needs to be completely overhauled. The church is dead and it needs to be rebuilt like unto what the apostles built, house to house, you know, prayer, people actually gathering in love, love feasts, people really truly loving each other, real miracles, real restoration of people who are mentally ill, people who are cancer ridden, people who are filled with addiction, people who are filled with murder, people who want to rape people that set free from all that, you know, demonic strongholds, people who are thinking, you know, progressive ideas are good, girls wanting to be boys, boys wanting to be girls, you know, communist people set free to republic, to freedom, true freedom of the individual, right to explore and find and buy and build a beautiful thing creatively out of their own God-ordained image of God persona, which goes back to Genesis chapter 1. This is the vision. We're going to restore the man on land. We're going to have a public cafe where we meet people, start conversation. Without a conversation, nothing happens. Conversations are everything. Jesus started everything with a conversation. We start, we're healing the land with conversations. Key people, people that disagree, Republican, Democrat, right wing, left wing, you know, people who are Methodist, talking to people who are Baptist, people who are Baptist, talking to people who are Pentecostal, people talking to Catholic. Conversations around Jesus Christ, not around religion, around Jesus Christ, the person and work of Jesus Christ. That's the unifier, Jesus Christ. The vision has been burned into this man called Jonathan. I have been trained by heaven. I'm not a scholar, don't want to be one, but I respect it. I respect the people who put the Bible together, the manuscripts. I respect the history. I respect those people who went on before. I respect it. But the word of God is the template. The words of Genesis chapter 1 all the way to Revelation 22. All of it. I believe that the principles haven't changed. I believe the words are heavenly. I believe they're from the Holy Spirit, written by the Holy Spirit. But I also believe that today we need a fresh outpouring of Pentecost, a renewal of the Pentecostal winds, which is going to give us the English words and the English ideas and the English plans, the strategies, and the English understanding of this current culture and all of its problems. But it can be fixed by God, only by God. It can't be fixed by man and politics. It can only be fixed by God. Because we're the generation that's going to identify the son of perdition, the Antichrist, who's going to come and sit in the seat of the Holy of Holies in Jerusalem. And when he does that, it's all over. Tribulation, Jesus returns, throne set up, 1,000-year reign. I believe in that. I'm preparing for the 1,000-year reign. I'm rolling the red carpet out for Jesus. These are all themes I've been repeating over and over in my writings and my videos. That's my account. That is my testimony. May God richly bless you. Shalom.